iRacing and sim racing land. Yeah, it's 9 o'clock, and yes, this is the Sim Racing Podcast channel. Normally, we're doing the 802 podcast, but that's at 8 o'clock. But we had some changes to make to the setup for the race this week, so that's going to be tomorrow night at 8 right here on the channel. But very special edition tonight. Every episode is special, but this one is especially special. Brand new podcast series here on the Sim Racing Podcast channel, and I want to welcome everybody to the Cool Down Lap, which is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports that we've been talking about quite frequently the last couple weeks. Eric and Justin were guests on here, I want to say about a month ago, and we started talking about doing a podcast for them, and then they jumped at the idea. We put a lot of planning into it, and tonight is the debut episode. Will be airing on Monday night at 9 p.m. Next week's a holiday, so we'll have to discuss what we're going to do there, but I'm up for it. And they even asked me to call some races with their broadcast team. And let me tell you, that is a lot different than doing a podcast. So I guess we did pretty well because they invited me back, and it's a lot of fun. So this is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. It's a weekly update of all the racing news and results from Midwest Motorsports leagues. You can catch them online at midwest.motorsports.com. Pretty cool website, broken out into all their leagues with points and schedules and winners and all that good stuff. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Justin and Eric Thaler, the owners of Midwest Motorsports. Welcome, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, hey, Greg. Thank you. Again.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
We're getting to be almost like family. We've been talking so much and being on each other's races for the last couple weeks here.
Yeah, you're gonna start to feel the brotherhood now, and that's a good thing.
Well, racing's a big family anyway. So, why don't you guys talk about how you went ahead with the idea when I tossed it out to you, and how this whole thing came to fruition?
Yeah. So. You know, we really enjoyed our time with you and having you on your podcast. So shortly after that, Eric kind of tossed the idea. He was like, "Hey, you know, like, you know, we should try and maybe do something." And you had actually right before he reached out to me about it. So really enjoyed that, and then, you know, got to talking with you, and you were more than willing to set this up and run it through with us. And one of our other guys actually, how long ago? A couple years now?
Okay. Yeah.
And, I know nothing about it, but, you know, just from you reaching out to us a while ago before our very first, debut, I guess, kind of snowballed into what it is. And we're real excited for this opportunity and appreciate you putting this on for us.
Oh, you're welcome. Where do you see the podcast going as we develop it? What do you want to get out to your series members? And so what's your, I guess we get better off than nothing better to say than what's your mission for the podcast here as far as your league goes?
I would say, Greg, it's just a way to showcase, you know, our members, you know, a way to showcase those guys that are winning, you know, maybe we do something special once we hit the end of the series, you know, something of that nature. But, this is something that, you know, I feel that it's a way for us to, you know, promote our own members and also, you know, try to gain new members as well. You know, hopefully folks will listen and, you know, understand that this is a league that, you know, we're here to help people, and we're here to, you know, again, like I said, like create that brotherhood and, you know, competitiveness of a league as well. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we want to create that helpful, you know, presence out there. So, you know, that would be for the most part something that I'd like to gain through this. you know, I think it's a great opportunity. You know, people love to listen to podcasts and you know, listen to a few of yours, and they're very entertaining. This is a great opportunity.
I've found for our series, the other series I do, 802 Cup series, it's amazing. There's like 20 drivers that come out every week, but I guess their families listen to the podcast, because there's 40 or 50 people every week that listen to that. And that's just, you know, very, very hyper focused on the league. And it's kind of hard to get drivers to come out and be guests on it to add some depth to it. So how do you guys plan on getting drivers interested in coming out and telling their story, per se?
That's something we'll definitely promote throughout the races. You know, through our Discord channel and whatnot. You know, we can even share these, podcasts through our Discord. That way guys can get on and listen to it, or folks can get on and listen to it. You know, for the most part, everyone has been very, welcoming of even the broadcast situation, you know, of being interviewed after the race scenario. So, you know, I don't feel like we'll have an issue unless somebody, somebody has some other plans that are going on Monday night or something of that nature. But, you know, for the most part, I think we should be able to gain some other attendees, and, even some of our admin crew might pop on every once in a while to give a little perspective to the podcast. But, you know, I think we can, get some good vocals going.
So, as I understand, are all of your series currently in playoff mode right now? Except for, you said Road Series is in a promotional state?
Correct.
Yep. All of our ovals are in playoff mode. We see our trucks and our Xfinity go to Dover next weekend. This coming weekend, really. And our cup is off because of the holiday. But Cup will come back full force the following week in Nashville. And that's where we'll end all three series at Nashville the following week. So we're actually getting down to the wire here. Admin crew actually is in talks for season six content and, you know, any sort of rule adjustments that we're going to make. But, you know, we actually got a live vote out there now for the members to get in there to vote on, you know, what tracks they'd like to race at this coming season, and some other ancillary stuff. But, you know, we kind of leave that stuff to the members to you could say negotiate upon themselves. But, you know, we're definitely in talks for season six as we wind down season five. Excited for it, cause this, coming into this next season is our longer seasons, as we hit fall, winter, and, the front part of spring, from about October to mid-April or so. So it's a longer season for us. It's a bit more competitive because of that length, and, you know, super excited for it to come around.
Cool.
And I will say, if I can add to that, you know, you mentioned we have the polls out for our Oval Series, but, you know, between our Oval Series and our Road Series, we just put whatever out there, but the options are never easy for our members to vote on. So you get a lot of guys who are like, wow, well, which one do I end up picking? You know, I dislike both of the options may be available, but which one do I dislike the least? So, you know, we had that kind of on the roadside because our series don't necessarily align. So on the roadside, you know, we had a lot of different options out there, and the guys are like, oh, I don't know which, you know, did you really put this on the poll? And I was like, hey, those are your options. And now it's up to you guys to kind of pick your poison. So it's kind of fun to see that, you know, when we kind of start ramping up for the content and format for the next season, it's kind of fun to see how the community reacts and then, you know, what the actual results are. And we always share the results with the members. You know, there's full transparency from us to our members, as it should be. So.
And how long are those polls available? When do they close?
Right now, our ovals is open until Labor Day. So I opened them up last week. You know, we got a lot of votes in already, but, you know, I like to leave those up for about 2 weeks or so.
Oh, so if it's a tough choice, I got to make up their mind pretty quick then.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they write on paper, you know, put the pros and cons down.
Have team meetings in the dark over beer and cigarettes, right? Or cigars.
Yeah.
And you can't complain unless you vote, right?
Yeah, that's true. Now, do they get to pick the entire season, or how many tracks of the do they get to pick out of the entire season?
So for oval, we run typically two, I'll say American road courses. So we'll run two U.S. road courses, and so basically we'll drop one. So they have to vote on one road course to drop in each series. So for Cup, Xfinity, Trucks, they each individually vote. So, you know, they'll drop one road course and then add one road course. So, you know, we'll put all the road courses that are listed, you know, within basically the normal NASCAR circuit, you know, up for them to vote on. And then we get into short tracks and intermediates. And again, we pick two of them for them to drop and then two to add. And then we pick, I allow them to pick the, I shouldn't say allow, I always offer them to pick the two super speedways that they enjoy the most to pick. You know, we don't drop one. We always just, you know, hey, which one would you like to run the most? It's typically seems to be, well, to put a spoiler out there right now, it's back to Daytona Talladega. We kind of, experimented a little bit in Atlanta this year in the Cup Series. I don't think it went very well, but you know, we do that, and then any speedway, half mile or mile and a half, same thing. You drop two and you pick two to replace it. You know, so we kind of give that option to you know, pick those ones that maybe you didn't do so great at or aren't your favorite to try to vote out, and, you know, to pick a couple that you do enjoy to race at, or, you know, you look to, you look for something new, you know, to pick to replace those. So, you know, again, we kind of give those folks the option. We did toy around a little bit with, replacing the Cup car this year or for this upcoming season, but, one thing that I think came to fruition for me. So, you know, even so, we didn't really have the votes to switch it anyway, but, you know, I hope we can gain some members in that Cup Series and get some more competition in the next gen. But, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, dropping two and just replacing two.
Got it. Okay. Any rule changes coming up for any of the series for season six?
Yeah. So some of which we vote on. One is some of our stage points. This season, through voting from previous season, the guys wanted to try out, you know, just placing stage one and stage two winners with 1 point. And then given 2 points to the final race winner. You know, again, another spoiler, what it's turning out to be is most folks didn't enjoy that very much. So we're most likely going back to score what we did in season four, which was basically 1 through 5. However, you know, a difference from season four to season six is going to be, that 1 through 5 will get, bonus points towards the chase for all three stages. So even including the end of the race, you know, hopefully that'll mix up some things a little better in the chase. We did kind of see a little more of, you know, that swing of, of folks that are you know, winning stages and races, obviously, kind of, you know, get that boost in playoff points. So, you know, having the opportunity to score points, you know, 1 through 5, could definitely mix it up a little bit. You know, so, somebody that's consistent could definitely, you know, be in competition for the series championship. But that's one of the major rule changes that's going to take effect for season 6. The others, really, we don't know too much yet. We have some ideas, but we're going to discuss those this coming week with the rest of the admin team during our admin chat for season 6. But I'm sure there's going to be some exciting stuff. We seem to come out with ideas and some ways to, you know, maintain members, but you know, one thing again that we've been very consistent on throughout the rules and whatnot is to make it fair and to you know, to make it easy for folks to understand and whatnot too. So
pretty cool. I was perusing through the website, and you're adding, am I mistaken? Are you adding a car to the Road Series? Is that up for discussion?
The Road Series is actually, we changed from the F3 to the GT4 class.
That was it. Okay.
Coming up. Yep. So
got it.
That's kind of our biggest change on that side of the league. So the polls were interesting. So we gave them some options, and basically it came down to everybody picking the GT4 class in iRacing. So basically, you just have to register, you pick your number and your car manufacturer, and you have to run that, you know, for the length of the season. We're, our league's a pretty Porsche heavy league, so we should have just named it the Porsche GT4 Challenge, I guess.
Cool.
But in terms of the biggest rule changes on our side, something that kind of came up, you know, halfway through our last season of F3, because we were only, you know, we were following the F1 points format, so only the top 10 were scoring mm-hmm. points. But we basically he did a lot of research and investigating, but basically came up with a pro and a amateur class split. So basically, it'll any driver who returns in the top 10 or a winner from our F3 will be placed into the pro category, and then any returning driver who was under a IPL of 0.3 or higher will be placed in the AM class, or if they are below the Road Series average I rating in our league. So, and then new members will be placed based upon their I rating. So got probably about 6 or so new drivers who joined us. A couple guys from some of our Opel series converted over and are joining us on the roadside. So it's, the growth has been there. We have close to 30 drivers, maybe a little over 30. So getting real excited for that to start. So we've been doing a couple of recruitment races, and you know, we're getting ready to, in the next week or so, kick it off.
Cool. And all 4 series are broadcast?
So everything is streamed on our Twitch channel. The replays are uploaded to YouTube. As far as, you know, live broadcast commentary, our truck series on Friday nights and our road series on Tuesdays feature James. And the last couple of weeks have been really cool that you've joined James for our truck series, and they've been awesome broadcast. So
cool. Thanks.
We appreciate that.
Yep, and he's Rivenvale, right? Is that
James? That would be Josh.
That's Josh. Okay, because he's in the chat room. He's in the chat room saying hi. I'll get it figured out. Yeah, just like I got
it's okay.
Just like I got all the NASCAR numbers figured out 3 years ago, and that's when silly season went really silly, and they all changed teams and numbers. I was like, forget this. I'll just watch them drive fast.
It's easier that way. But yeah, we're getting excited.
Cool.
The 5th is our first race at 7 o'clock at Brands Hatch. So, we're going to kick it off, and, we have a 20, 20 races, so it's going to be a long season. There's everybody scores points, so it'll be fun and interesting. So,
so back on the NASCAR side, if somebody wants to jump in and they drive a Chevy in one league, do they have to drive the same brand and number in all the series?
Yes, that's correct, Greg. So, you know, if they get a Ford 15 in the truck series, then they got to run a Ford 15 in all the others.
Okay. Makes bookkeeping easier, don't it?
Yeah, no, and it's a little easier to keep track of, that's for sure.
So you want to go through the week in review, or do you have anything else that members need to know for end of this season or upcoming season 6?
I just, if you are interested, for one, check out our broadcast Friday nights. We do also offer that broadcast scenario, obviously without any commentary. Cast those races with Rivenvale as the search, or Midwest Motorsports. You can find those on Twitch there. Also head over to the website, midwest-motorsports.com. We will be throwing out some promotional content here in the next few weeks to promote season 6. So again, if you're interested, kind of check that out and see if that's in your window. And best way to sign up would be, again, at midwest-motorsports.com.
Oh, before we get into it, you said the promotional thing. Your web page says you're now associated with Track Racer. How does that help you, and how do your drivers benefit if they go buy something from Track Racer?
So basically, it's just an affiliate link. So it's something pretty much anybody can sign up for through Track Racer. But I'm a fan of theirs. I have a TR80. Eric has a TR80. So basically, unfortunately, there's no like discount for any members. But if anybody's looking to, as a whole from them, or any kind of add-ons that they have, they can use our link, and basically we just get a small percentage of that sale amount. And basically all that funding is used to help support and run the league. We are a free league, so we're footing the bill for this. And any little bit helps, but pretty much it's just a little way, if there's something they got their eye on and they want to buy, they can use our link, and we get a little bit of a kickback, from Track Racer for everything that's sold.
And you personally guarantee if they buy something from Track Racer and Dubby Power Drinks that they will drive how much faster? What's the promise there?
I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know if Eric has any idea.
Good answer. No comment.
I wish it was that case. Trust me.
Yeah, I'd be buying something every week myself.
There you go. So let's take jump into Watkins Glen from Friday night.
Sure. Yeah. And, yeah. Let's do it.
And your winner there was number 19, Bryce Meddings from Down Under. And of course, he couldn't be with us tonight because he's probably, it's 9 o'clock here, so 14, it's about 11:30 in the morning. So he's probably just getting ready to go to lunch down there and doesn't want to be talking with us at 9:30 at night up here. So how did the race pan out from your view there as far as performance of the drivers and your own performance? How'd that go?
I think it was really, from my perspective, I think I qualified fourth, I think. Bryce, I mean, he's smoke qualifying. There was some good competition. Mark Cochran was really, really quick early on. He had a great qualifying time. Ryan Enlow as well. He ended up winning our Sonoma race. So, he's a force for sure when it comes to oval, as well as any road course in the trucks. So I, I had some unfortunate contact with, I don't remember who the last guy I mentioned who won Sonoma. But I had some unfortunate contact with him, going into turn one. He got a little sideways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I tried my best to, you know, I was trying to run my line and everything. He got a little bit sideways. I unfortunately clipped him just a little bit in the rear, and I think that might have caused some, issues with him. And it was nothing intentional or anything. It was, sure. I think it was just a racing incident after watching it back. But,
yeah.
Personally myself, I felt I ran pretty good. I was, hunting down Mark Cochran pretty good. I feel like I had maybe a little more pace once the tires started to get worn off. Had a spin at the bus stop, which cost me some time, but towards the end, I ended up taking tires, you know, my last stop just to see. I think I cut maybe 4 seconds out of Bryce's lead, but I think he ended up still getting me by like 7 or 8 seconds, but yeah. I'm pretty sure I might have took the fastest lap of the race, but, I was hauling for sure, just seeing what I could do, but
sure.
Those trucks are tricky on road courses, but, we had a good sized field and, always fun going to a road course because it can be a crapshoot, you know, anytime. Yeah. So even the best guy could have an incident and end his chances of winning. But, I thought overall it was a good, hopefully it was a good entertaining race. I know you were in the booth with James, so hopefully you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, it was fun. Huffy48 was asking when you couldn't remember who it was you got into, an incident with in lap one. Was it Cochran or was it, Enloe?
Oh, it was Enloe. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. I knew I said his name right before, but yeah. I don't know if he just overdrove, but, or ran too much curbing, but, his rear end started to come around on him and I was right there and you try not to avoid spinning yourself as well. So mm-hmm. I tried to just get out of the throttle and not overcorrect it to cause myself to spin and then just, you know, block the entire apex of turn one for everybody behind. So it feel bad about it. You know, it's never my intention to do that. I think it's just kind of a racing incident. He was looked from when it happened. It looked like he was starting to get a little bit sideways, but, it's just a bummer for everybody when you have such good competition that, you know, kind of gets taken out, you know, early in the race. So.
Yeah, he must have had some points in the bank because when I was talking to James, the other broadcaster, we were figuring that was really going to upset his point total, but he still hung in pretty tight after that. Did he win two races prior to that, I believe?
So let me
I think he has. The biggest thing with that, too, is again, the stage point wins. So, you know, he's okay. One that consistently wins stages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those tend to rack up quite frequently. So, again, that's something that we tossed around again for the rule change for season 6.
He's got 3 wins in the bag and 5 top fives and 6 top tens.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I was just going through the schedule here. He won on July 7th and then again on the 28th. It was Dustin Reinstedtl I was thinking of that won the 2 races in a row there.
Yeah, that's right.
So, points battle up top in the 12 playoffs and back in the middle, it's quite a couple battles going on.
Yeah, there are, and I'll say that's one thing that kind of has been consistent throughout our seasons has been the points battles. We've had some pretty close calls even coming down to the last race. There could be some things that mix up in the truck series leading into Dover and Nashville at the end of the season. So. It could get pretty exciting here.
I mean, our regular season champ didn't win a race all season. I don't even know if he won a stage.
Oh, wow.
And he was just massively consistent.
Consistency,
and
yep.
He ended up, you know, winning our regular season. So, I mean, out of 13 starts, he had 10 top 10s and 3 top 5s. So he didn't necessarily, you know, run away with it going into the chase, but he definitely was just consistent in there in the end and ended up, you know, taking the regular season championship.
There's something to be said for consistency in driving, not only for the season, but especially on road courses. When I'm on a road course, I found that if you lose your momentum, if you lose your groove, it is so hard to get back into it. Because we even saw that happen a couple times because James and I were talking about it. He asked me, he goes, how do you do a road course? I said, well, I'm terrible at them, but I love them. But they're just so much fun to drive. But I find if you hit your sweet spot, and it's not about driving fast, it's just about, you know, hitting the corners right. And then I said, if you mess up and you get out of your groove, you're going to have a hard time getting back into it. And we saw that happen with a couple spin outs in turn one. And then shortly after that, that same driver on a couple different drivers had another spin out very shortly after that. Do you find the same thing?
It's all about really understanding that, you know, some corners lower is faster, right? So, you know, when I'm practicing, I have my delta up, and, you know, I'm playing with different braking markers and throttle inputs and stuff like that. But with the trucks, it's a little difficult just because there's really no weight in the rear end. So I knew going into it, if I could minimize wheel spin and sliding, you know, through any turns just to try and, you know, keep my tire life there and make them last, that that's kind of where it's at, and easy on the brakes. And you kind of have to rely a little more on the gearing to slow you down rather than the brakes themselves, or you'll lock them up. So it's just in pumping the brakes, you know, there's no ABS. So you kind of have to just, like you said, you have to always stay focused and just try and hit your marks and not worry about the speed, because you might feel like you're slow, but you might bang out, you know, your one of your faster lap times. So it's a balance for sure.
What do you do for your brake bias during the race, or is that a secret that you don't want to reveal?
No, I'm open to helping. I mean, what works for me might not ever work for anybody else. So, I mean, Eric and I have, you know, said, what are you running here? And, well, I'm running this. And we look at our lap times, you know, and the same car in the same track, and we're so close. So it's never something that's going to find you, you know, 3/10 a lap overall. But road courses, I just try and get them as balanced out as possible. I try and get as much in the rear as possible without spinning the rear, you know, under braking.
Sure.
It's still tricky, you know. You put that little extra amount of force on the brake pedal, you know, and going into the same corner on lap 10, you've been doing it great 9 laps in, and lap 10 you put that little extra force and you end up, you know, just pushing because you're just sliding, you know, you're locking the front up. So there's a balance there for sure, and it can be tricky. So
okay, you want to jump take a look at the trunk points for the top 10 so far?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if are you guys watching on Twitch at all?
Yep.
I got SimRacer Hub open. I'm not watching live.
Ah, okay. So, like we're talking about the top 10, Dustin Reinstedl's in first place with 1,142 points. Right behind him, 21 back, is Mark Cochran, and only 6 points back. Like you said, we were talking earlier, Ryan Enlow, that consistency during the season and 3 wins and stage points, like you said, even though he checked out early, he's in third place, only 6 points out of second. And then Sean Hopiuk is in fourth with 1,112. Justin, you're hanging in there pretty tight with 1,110. Andrew Miller at P6 with 1,092. And it, like you said, it was really tight. You got 1,092, 1,090, and 1,087 between James Olivson, Justin Glockner, and Robert Olivson. And then rounding out the top 10 is Ryan Sargent with 1080. I completely forgot there were 12 on the playoffs. So next episode, I'll put all 12 playoffs drivers in each race there for you, so we get it up to snuff there.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, no worries. Like, you know, it's definitely close in a few, you know, scenarios, or, you know, there could be definitely, you know, Justin could jump from fifth to second, fifth to third and, you know, after the next race, or, and then wind up with the second place, you know, finish on the season. So, there's a lot of tight little battles here, even in the bottom half of the top five. So, you know, we could see a little mix up.
Yeah, that's for sure. And let's go to the Xfinity Series now and check out that. Winner there is number 86, Ben Litherland.
Yep.
And that was also at the Glen. And that was his third ever league win. How long has he been in to get those three wins there?
Well, I believe that was...
win.
Yeah, third on the season. Him and I are tied actually for league wins at 24 apiece.
But, oh, wow.
SimRacer Hub doesn't seem to track our first inaugural season, but anyways, okay. Ben is what we call an alien. He is a road course ringer for sure. Last season, season five, he lapped all of us in Xfinity, at Road America. So, he's for sure a road course ringer. He's definitely consistent. That's one thing that carries him, is consistency. Oh my gosh, yeah, he's quick too, but Ben's over in England. You know, he doesn't get to race with us too often. Xfinity seems to fit his schedule more than anything else. So, you know, when the start time is 6 o'clock Eastern, it's somewhere around 11 or midnight there.
Pretty
so
close, yeah.
You know, he tries to fit those in as best as possible for him, but you know, he's a road course ringer for sure. He did miss a few races this year, which set him back a little bit on points, but you know, he's a quick one that you know, in the next couple races you could see gain, you know, 4 or 5 positions in the point standings.
Wow. I see in the race recap here said there's only 7 points separating P3 through 7 with 2 races left.
Yeah.
And those guys are...
Yep.
So, I have a guess of what's going to happen there?
That's going to be interesting. You know, it could take... you know, Ben's at the bottom half of that. Down an eighth, you know, necessarily if he gets a couple stage wins or whatnot, you could find him in, you know, fifth or fourth come the next, after the next race. So, it could be interesting. It could be a quick, a bit of a shakeup going into, mm-hmm. you know, going into Nashville. Michael Scamia, wrench in the fire, but you know, there's quite the possibilities that could happen here in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, you mentioned his lead. He's plus 18 over Andrew Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's take a look at the Xfinity points. Like we just said, Michael Scamia is in P1 with 1,141 points, 3 wins. Andrew Miller, 28, is 1,123. Clarence Prince in P3 with 1117. Yeah, this gets really tight. Brandon Morris with 1116 in P4. James Olivson, P5 with 1115. Norm Snyder, P6 with 1110. Tied with Joshua Watt for 1110. And Ben Litherland, 1099 in P8. 1077 is Carlos Navarro, 2 with 1077. Rounding out the top 10 is Chris Taylor at 1067 in P6. P10. What I noticed on your scorekeeping there, which they do a better job than iRacing, is they actually recognize ties. In our league, we just use the iRacing scoring, and they don't necessarily recognize a tie. So you could be listed as P8 in points, like I was a couple weeks ago, and then you look up and up front, and there's two other guys tied for fourth and two tied for fifth. So congratulations on getting that figured out, because that's kind of tough when you can't figure out who's in what place when there's ties.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, Sim Racer Hub doesn't give us nothing, you know, but I'll tell you what, man, they are amazing when it comes to the points and organizing a league and whatnot. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat because there's been some talk about adding stages to their point system and whatnot. So,
oh wow,
I haven't gone into it yet to see if they've actually done it, but I have seen in their Discord where they've been, you know, working on it. But you know, that's one thing that my God, I'll drop to my knees once that happens. Because from a reporting standpoint, that's something that you know, we do manually on the stage part. But you know, if SimRacer Hub gets that put into their system, it's gonna be a game changer for us in our league.
Sure. How do you do that now? Do you have to go in and look at the individual, what looks like the big graph that shows every lap, and find out where people are, or can you find out that out another way?
Well, for us, you know, we do run that live race control, so that's a huge benefit when it comes to doing those stages. Yeah. You know, they do keep track of that, you know, when that happens. So, you know, from a race control standpoint, you know, they're doing a lot of things behind the scenes that some members aren't probably aware of. So, you know, that's one thing that they do is keep track of stages.
Yeah. And the company doing your points, is it SimRub? Oh, SimRub. Yeah, sure. SimHub Racer. It's past my bedtime, guys. I'm 60 something years old. I'm up at 4:30 in the morning and I go to bed at 9. SimHub, there you go.
SimHub.com.
Okay. So, blame it on the fact I need new eyeglasses here. So do they have access to just download straight from iRacing? How do they mesh with the iRacing scoring?
Yeah, super easy. So, you know, any admin for SimRacer Hub, so anybody who you add as an admin to your league, can basically go into the iRacing results and they download a JSON file, JSON, off the results from iRacing, and you just upload it in SimRacer Hub, and the presets that you set during the beginning of the season, you know, for the scoring and, sure. And you know, how many, for instance, you can do a lot of different things in SimRacer Hub, from, you know, if you don't finish 50% of the race, you don't get points, stuff like that, right? So, you can, you just upload it, and it takes those items you selected before the beginning of the season and puts the points together. The only manual thing that we do currently in SimRacer Hub is add the stage points.
Cool. So it sounds like they got their stuff together there.
For sure. And it's a free service. Again, they don't give us money or nothing, but I love this service. So, you know, it's a free service. You know, you can give them donations, but, they do feature us, in their, they have a featured league section and they do feature us in that, but, that's one thing they do for us. But, you know, it's, again, it's a great service and something that we've relied on from day one.
Well, if you're listening on a regular Monday night broadcast, note this is not the 802 Cup Series, and yes, this is an hour later than normal. This is the debut edition of the Cool Down Lap, which is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports, Monday nights, 9 p.m., talking Midwest Motorsports leagues, what's going on, recaps of the last races, points, talking with the leaders, discussing racing in general, and and for a crass commercial message that I get paid nothing for, but he does some paints for me on occasion, DTL Customs Design and Graphics. Racing promotions, racing posters, give him a shout. David Thomas on Facebook, good guy. So DTL Customs and Graphics, and this is the Cool Down Lap, the Midwest Motorsports official podcast, and I'm the host, Greg Dreis, and talking with the owners of the league. So let's jump into the Road Series, and which races on Tuesday nights at Alton Park. I love that track. That track is so much fun. We even ran our truck series on that a couple of years ago, and everybody just had a blast on that.
We ran our overseas tour last season. We ran our Oval Series at Brands Hatch, which was interesting.
Cool.
So that's going to be our another recruitment race. So I'll hit up all the different websites and forums and Discord channels that I'm a member of, and we're going to use that kind of as a promotional race, maybe get some new members out of it. We had one the week before that went pretty well. Got I think one or two guys in that one, but for the majority, it was just, pretty much, the group was made up of a bunch of our own members here. Just, I think trying to just shake the dust off and really, really fine tune, their inputs with the new GT4 car. So, that'll be up in the hosted session. But, anybody out there listening is interested in a road series, don't feel free to join us if you have a GT4 car.
Cool. And the winner Tuesday night was Johan De Roy, last season champion, you say there. It was 23 drivers. Yep. That's a pretty good turnout for a Tuesday night road course.
Yep. Yeah. Johan was, he was in form just as he was the entire length of the F3 season. So, he didn't win by, as big of a gap as he usually wins, from our last season in the F3 cars. So, it'll be interesting. And like I said earlier, with the different classifications between, pro and am, it'll be good because everybody's always going to be fighting for some type of points. So, we're really looking forward to that. That's something our members really wanted, and Steve did a really great job and basically, figuring out what that points format's going to look like. And then, basically a week or so before we start, we'll probably actually get to it earlier this week, but, Steve pretty much already has the pro and am driver designations figured out. So, we'll be classifying those guys within the roster in iRacing that way. Everybody knows, based on the relative who's in their class and who they're really, battling over.
Wow. When I was doing the Joe six pack racing, for about 3 years, I was pretty much doing it myself along with the admins. How many hours a week do you guys put in? Cause it seems like I know it's a lot of work to run a league, and I know I was putting a ton of hours in cause I don't work winters in the garden business.
So, I'm always kind of monitoring the channels because I feel like as admins, you need to be, forward facing and people need to know that, you're engaging with the community. Point. So I'm usually checking my phone multiple times a day and trying to figure things out and help people out and just be interactive with the community here. A lot of the time, for the most part goes into, when we're gearing up for the new seasons, right? Yep. Especially when things change, when we go from one car to another, we're a fixed league and for the F3 and even this season, we run a fixed fuel load. That way we can basically force a pit stop to kind of shake things up.
Sure.
So a lot of testing goes into kind of, what iRacing setup are we going to use? And then what's the fuel load? So you almost, with this one, it was a little difficult because I own two of the GT4 cars and then, another admin owns this one, another owns that one. So trying to get everybody in because you have to test, with this setup across every car in that class, what's it going to do when you put 60% fuel? Is it going to pass or fail? And, And we did find one car actually failed because of the ride height at the fuel load. So we had to go back to the drawing board when it came down to the fuel load and change it a little bit. But we're still where we want to be with it. But and for me myself personally, you know, it's just a lot of it is really prepping for that next season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't speak for our points admin. He puts in a lot of time behind the scenes, kind of doing a lot of that stuff and uploading it after races. And Dustin Reinstedtel, our social media guy, is always grabbing clips and uploading to all our social media accounts. So he puts in quite a bit of time. But you know, just aside from revamping the rule book, figuring out what the schedule is going to look like, most of it's kind of set, you know, in that preparation period. And, you know, I like to get out ahead of it. So for the most part, we try and do a lot of stuff, you know, in the last couple weeks of the previous season, you know, that way we can kind of give the guys a couple weeks off without them sitting around wondering, you know, how come we're not racing yet, you know.
So. There you go. And it says here, it's new members can sign up at MWMidwest-motorsports.com to sign up for not only the Road Series, but all your other series, correct?
Yep. And I tell everybody, you know, we don't care how fast you are or what it is. If you want to learn and as long as you drive clean, I mean, you're good in my book. So, well, we're always there to help anybody out. And if they have that interest in joining the roadside, they're always more than welcome.
Cool. I just want to touch for a minute on your incident per lapse. What happens if somebody is just in the wrong place at the wrong time all the time? How much blame do they get assigned if they go above your 0.3 incidents per lap quota?
You know, Greg, honestly, that's something with that we have just relied on iRacing to continue to judge, I guess.
Okay.
You know, the IPL is, it's all, you know, done through SimRacer Hub. So, you know, they'll take that incident per lap and put it into, you know, you could say almost a percentage per se at the end of the day. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's something that, it may become discussion, you know, this week with the admins rolling into season six, as far as, you know, how do we, is there something that we do for those that, you know, wind up on the wrong side of the stick, you know, per se?
Or, yeah, that would be me.
You know, So, you know, you know, that may be something that we change come season six. It may not be. So,
okay.
You know, I don't want to get folks hopes up, but,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely something we're going to discuss. It's definitely the biggest challenge I'll see from that, you know, saying that as far as something that we change is the policing side, you know, how we're going to review that and how we're going to, you know, determine who's involved, who's not, right?
So, right, because that could cause a lot more work for you guys too if you got to go back and review every driver in every pile up at every yellow flag in every race across four league. I just brought that up because no matter if I'm running the officials, the 802 Cup Series, if there's a wreck and I get in it, everybody else drives away, and I'm the one with the damage that ends up in the pits. So I'm like, I didn't even cause the wreck, and I try to get. There's always somebody that gets the bad stick, and that's me.
I mean, honestly, Greg, everybody's been on that side at some point during your racing career. So, you know, so I'll be honest, man. In my mind, it's about. It's about your awareness and where you are.
That's true. Too.
You know, on the track and, mm-hmm. and, you know, some tracks it's easier than others. Right. So, you know, if you're running a super speedway, of course it's going to happen at some point, you're going to wind up in it, you know?
Like Ryan Preece on Sunday, Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, you know,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Justin.
One thing that we added kind of mid-season of our last season of F3 was basically the admin team reviews any incident that happens on the first lap, right? So it kind of sets the precedent that you're still kind of getting tire temps, you're still warming brakes up, getting that grip. But if anybody's dive bombing, the third turn in and they wipe somebody out, it's just driving like out of control, that early in the race. So basically, those drivers will receive a penalty for the next week. So something we kind of added just to ensure that we have at least everybody funnels through that first lap, and then sort of get in your rhythm and start fighting for those positions.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the points for the road series for this week. And Johan DeRoy, the last season's winner, he's way out ahead, 290 points. Joshua Blum is in P2 with 182. Gary Gatchening at 180. Justin Fedorowski at 174 is tied with Jason Phillips for P5 at 174. Max Bauer at 163, Justin, you're at 125, Steve Hansel at 117, Rob Angus at 84, and P10 is Brian Coxon at 73.
Yep, so that was last season, and it was a good season for us. We had a lot of new growth and competition, and now we're kind of gearing up to the GT4, so
cool.
It'll be exciting.
All righty. Cup winner. This is the last one. Last cup winner and the cup points. And Eric, you won the other night at Watkins Glen. How did that go for you?
Yeah, went pretty well. Honestly, I didn't think I had anything to win. I didn't put in much practice, but Watkins Glen is a track that I look forward to when it comes on the schedule. One that in my mind, it's something I enjoy the hell out of Watkins Glen. But Justin was fast. For the first stage, he was on my tail. He chased me around during that first stage, and some unfortunate circumstances after we pitted and going into stage two caught him sideways. But I believe we would have been either down to the wire real close or one of us would have been chasing somebody, either one of us, but that was a fun race. My strategy there was to run it in reverse, because we don't run stage cautions, I should say, at road courses.
Yeah.
Just like cups, just like the NASCAR does today. But, we do run continuously all the way through, which tends to let it go a little further, right? We don't call cautions during road courses, so only locals, no full course cautions, so
yeah.
That tends to be a little quicker, but not much strategy for me other than run it in reverse and being consistent. And that was about it.
All right, well, let's take a look at the cup points. Dustin Reinstadt is in P1 with 1154. It's pretty tight up there for P1 and 2. Justin at 1150. Dustin has 5 wins on the season. Justin, you've got 4. Eric in P3 with 1131. And then Anthony Castor in P4 at 1124. P5 is Jason Halfman at 1118. Robert Olson, Norm Snyder at 112, Clarence Prince at 1110, Chris Thaler at 1108, and John Bates at 1035. So almost anything could happen there in the next 2 weeks for the championship, right?
Yeah, so there's actually just one race left. We're off next week. Kind of give the guys Sunday night off to enjoy their Labor Day come Monday. So, we did that, and we got one race left is Nashville. There could be a lot on the line here, especially between one and two, positions one and two. You know, then from 6 to 3, could be a lot to, well, shoot, 7 to 3, you know, could be a little bit of a mix up going on there too. So, a lot of things to look at, you know, coming into Nashville. If you want to see some exciting racing, it might be something to tune into, you know, to watch live. But, I believe Dustin and Justin are going to be battling it off here, you know, as they head into Music City.
Cool. Well, let's, hey, guess what? We met our time goal of keeping it right around an hour. So let's, go down to the wrap up here. You've been listening to the Cool Down Lap. This is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports, weekly recap of all the goings on in their leagues, looking forward to what's coming up, new season, et cetera, and just getting the news out to the league and to the sim world. My name is Greg Dreis. I've been the host. Do you guys want to say anything to wrap up the first episode here?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys, for listening. Hope we entertained you for one. Hope some new listeners out there may give us a look and join. Also, you know, thanks to our folks in the league that commit every week and, you know, are out there with us putting in the laps. Without you, this league wouldn't be possible. So appreciate it. Thank you. And thanks, Greg. Appreciate you for putting this on.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoy it. Well, it's a wrap, folks. Episode 1 of the Cool Down Lap, Midwest Motorsports official podcast. We'll be back next week with a wrap-up of the weekend of racing as they head into the last week of their season and getting ready for the next season coming up. And don't forget, you can help out your league by purchasing through a Track Racer, get some good equipment, league, get some money back that way to help support the league, because it's not cheap running a league, let alone 4 of them, and having a bunch of them broadcast the stuff, not let alone mention the time involved. You can catch all the episodes of the Cool Down Lap on Midwest Motorsports social media channels, as well as the Sim Racing Podcast channel. We'll be uploading this later on to YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, Google, all the major podcast platforms, as well as YouTube. And I'm your host, Greg Dreis, for the Sim Racing Podcast. If you're interested in joining Midwest Motorsports, go on over to their website, midwest-motorsports.com. Check out all the information. I've known these guys for probably about going on 2 months now, and they seem that they've really got it together, and sounds like a league that would be fun to join. So once again, this is the Cool Down Lap from Midwest Motorsports. I'm your host, Greg Dreis, from the Sim Racing Podcast, and we'll be on tomorrow night.